To all users of big tech, you should know we're monitoring everything you do, and we may not allow it.
Imagine the society that scares you the most. The ones that arrest citizens, drag them from their homes just for sharing truth. The ones that kill information spreaders. The societies that suppress fact because it interferes with money, with elections, with control. The places that have prioritized power over freedom. Open your eyes, America, and look around. Is that us? Are we that society that others fear? Our First Amendment rights have never been more at risk. They're at risk thanks to a group of elites arguably more powerful than the men and women elected to monitor them. Big Tech. They're doing everything they can to not only monitor your every thought and desire, but also to suppress your opinion, your freedom to speak. But who made them the referees for truth? Tonight, I'll show you how today's digital public square is becoming Tiananmen Square. And high tech is driving the tank. It is more dangerous than you might think. Tonight, how digital dictators plan to kill free speech. Hello, America, and welcome to the program. Tonight's episode is about big tech and the media crushing anyone's voice that happens to disagree. It is so appropriate that today, before this broadcast, YouTube announced this. Yesterday was the safe harbor deadline for the U.S. presidential election, and enough states have certified their election results to determine president-elect. Given that, we will start removing any piece of content uploaded today or any time after that misleads people by alleging that widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of the 2020 U.S. presidential election in line with our approach towards historic U.S. presidential elections. We will remove videos claiming a presidential candidate won the election due to widespread software glitches or counting errors. We will begin enforcing this policy today, and we will ramp it up in the weeks to come. As always, news coverage and commentary on these issues, really, can remain on our site if there's sufficient education, documentary, scientific, or artistic content. I'm about to bring up frickin' ballet dancers while I finish this monologue, if that would keep me on. But I guarantee you, there's nothing artistic or scientific about any of their policies or what they will now allow you to hear. I looked up, right before I came on the air, the scientific method. Just for Twitter and YouTube and everybody else that seems to forget what freedom is all about. The scientific method involves careful observation, applying rigorous skepticism about what is observed. I can't be a skeptic now. I can't look at this. Let me ask you this. Do you think YouTube and the others would be saying the same thing if it was reversed? If Joe Biden had lost and we were having him go through court cases, they said they would never give up. Never give up. Now they're erasing history. Now they are deciding what you and I can talk about. Gang, we might as well hide in the basement. You are the revolutionary. You are the outsider now. They have control. How are you going to meet? How are we going to protest? You can, if you want to protest and burn cities down, you can tweet about it and everything. Let everybody know about it. But if it's not on YouTube, if it's not on Google, if it's not on Facebook, it ain't happening. Something has to change. Let me ask you this, YouTube. Let's say, a former MI6 spy who the FBI had discredited, presented to me a file and said, look, I've got this on good authority. This good authority, right here, it shows that China was working with Joe Biden to make sure that Donald Trump didn't win. Oh, and also there's some pretty solid evidence that he was peeing on hookers in Beijing. Would you allow that to be covered? Because you didn't seem to have a problem with that when the shoe was on another foot. We make no progress as human beings if we can't debate, if we can't talk, if we don't have different opinions. This is a disturbing wake-up call. I'm telling you, this is last call at the bar. We have major, major problems. May I just remind that Tesla, he went up against the machine, against Edison Electric. Do you know what Edison Electric is now called? General Electric, GE. He went up against all of the power players. They smeared him. They called him crazy. Who's crazy now? Who's crazy now? How about Bonhoeffer? He was speaking out. They called him crazy. They eventually killed him. Who was right with Dietrich Bonhoeffer? How about Galileo? Oh, Galileo. He had to go in front of a tribunal. They listened to his nonsense. He says, guy, we're not the center of the universe. Okay? Earth ain't the center of the universe. How dare you? So what did they do? Well, they confined him to quarters. Yeah. Might have been a COVID thing. I don't know. Dare I say that? Under house arrest, Galileo, he turns out to be the father of the scientific method. And let me just give you one more. My hero in American history is George Washington. You know how he died? They bled him to death. There was one guy, a younger doctor, who said he can't breathe. What we should do is we should take something and just let me just cut a little hole right here. And I can open up his airway and he'll be able to breathe. The other doctor said, that's madness. What kind of monster are you? I am not cutting the throat of the first president of the United States. Give me some more leeches. They bled him to death. Well, that was crazy when William Harvey said, we shouldn't bleed people to death. He fought, and eventually he won. You don't stifle any ideas. I was just going to say, are we Nazi Germany? Huh. I've read enough about it. We're on the way. This is how much the Nazis believed in you. This is a radio, and you can see, if you could get a close-up here, on each side, you see the Nazi symbol and the eagle. This was the radio that was for sale. Everybody could buy one. In fact, it's pretty much all you could buy. The special thing about this radio was it only picked up German stations that were approved. You couldn't have anybody with differing opinions having the German people listen to that. No, 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 no. They knew what was right, so they put together a magic radio box that would only pick up the approved messages. Wow, that sounds like Google and YouTube and Twitter, doesn't it? These are the most powerful companies in human history, and they are using this unprecedented power to suppress and censor speech and viewpoints they don't agree with. Even though their wealth is largely built on the dissemination of ideas and lets all of us gather together in the square and talk. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't agree with. I don't ever want it censored. I have never called for the firing of anyone with a differing opinion. I respect them. I listen to them if they're honest. But I still, if they're completely dishonest, which is only about, 100% of the media, I still don't want them fired. because I do believe that truth and logic and common sense, and I do believe in the American people to use those things to come up with the right decision, but big tech doesn't. Now, I want you to know that's usually Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon, Twitter. But tonight, I'm just going to focus on big tech's role as the new arbiters of truth, because they know we're dummies. Build back better. Me read good. I'm mainly focusing on Facebook and Instagram, which Facebook owns, Google and YouTube, which Google owns, and Twitter. Not to let Amazon and Apple off the hook. They're just not quite as knee-deep in the blood of freedom of speech to be talked about quite yet. Big tech controls the new digital public square. It is part of our everyday communication. It is, especially now with COVID, it's how we talk to each other. But see, they don't have to abide by the First Amendment. First Amendment, that applies to the government. Well, they're not the government. Big tech's framework, when it comes to free speech, is a lot closer to the European Union law, which means the rules are highly subjective and enforced based on the left-wing dogma of the rule makers. That way, Facebook, Google, and Twitter apply their standards, and it can continue to be biased against whomever. Conservatives, outlets like The Blaze. I mean, if anyone challenges left-wing dogma, you're out. Even back before 2016, the election, former employees at Facebook admitted that, quote, they routinely suppressed conservative news, end quote. One worker said they kept conservative topics out of the trending news feature, even when those topics were organically trending among Facebook users. Often, if a story was trending enough to be recognized by Facebook's algorithm, the news curators would not put it in the trending news section unless a more mainstream outlet like the New York Times or CNN were covering the same story. Besides keeping conservative topics out, they would also insert topics that they wanted to trend. For example, one former Facebook news curator said Black Lives Matter, that topic, was artificially injected into the trending news feature. Quote, Facebook got a lot of pressure about not having a trending topic for Black Lives Matter. They realized it was a problem, and they boosted it in the ordering. They gave it preference over other topics. So it was manufactured. Nothing is real anymore, and that's why our kids are killing themselves. Nothing, everything is meaningless. Nothing is real. Everything that they're telling you, is it real? What's the truth? I don't know. And the more you suppress, the more I question, because that's what humans do. Eventually, Facebook got rid of its trending news feature and focused more on the aspiring role as God of all truth. I'll have more on them in a minute. 2 weeks ago, YouTube demonetized and suspended One America News Network from posting new videos for a week. Bad OAN. YouTube alleges that OANN posted a video promoting a phony cure for COVID-19. Well, one of our producers reached out to OAN's host, who said the video in question was, quote, an old unlisted video, meaning not public. One of their former White House reporters detailing an event where the president discussed hydroxychloroquine, the OAN host said it wasn't even our reporter who made the claim in dispute. And by the way, I've taken hydroxychloroquine. My whole family had COVID. I didn't. And I'm not the picture of health. Gee, I wonder what it was. The big tech censors love to say context matters, except when they decide it doesn't. If it's about me or Donald Trump or anybody else, context doesn't matter at all. The same week that YouTube shut down OAN, four Democratic senators sent a letter. YouTube, hey, we got to talk to you about something. Their deep concern about misinformation on YouTube in light of the upcoming Georgia runoff elections. Apparently, these senators are not satisfied with the current level of censorship at YouTube. We demand more, especially if it helps the Democrats in the fight for Senate control. You'll also know this is a constant trend with big tech and the Democrats. They shut down certain viewpoints and block certain stories, you know, because they don't trust you to figure out anything on your own. But it's usually a mistake. It was a glitch. Oh, we can't talk about glitches, can we? You can't be allowed to hear different perspectives on something like hydroxychloroquine because the state has already decided for you, and they know what's best. Big tech knows what's best. They've built this little machine for you, and you'll get all the voices you need, and none of those voices that should be concerning to you. In July, Google's search results omitted a number of conservative websites and blogs, including Breitbart, The Daily Caller, Red State, The American Conservative, The Bongino Report. And if you search for one of those sites, you'd get links to Wikipedia articles or maybe a Twitter feed, but not the actual website. However, searches at the same time for sites like The New York Times, Washington Post, they weren't affected by this glitch that Google eventually fixed. They blamed it on a technical issue. It's a convenient excuse that is used over and over and over again. But you notice it never seems to hurt the other side. It's like all of those votes that were found, all of them went to Biden. Isn't that weird? A former Google engineer told Mediaite that the incident was probably not a mistake. No. He said it appears to have been revealed the existence of a blacklist that disproportionately targets conservatives. The glitch is that sites on this blacklist, yeah, they disappear. You can't pick them up anymore. Not in Google searches, nothing. But the existence of the list is very much by design. And that raises a major question here. Why was a blacklist created in the first place? What else is it used for? Does anybody think blacklisting is a bad idea? Again, that's a former Google engineer theorizing about what he thinks might be going on in Google. Gosh, I hope they don't take this off of YouTube because of that. But it aligns with the pattern we've seen over the past few years with YouTube at various points shutting down and demonetizing Jordan Peterson, Dave Rubin, Steven Crowder, PragerU, Blaze TV, among many others. And then there's Twitter, whose censorship and hypocrisy is so plentiful that it's hard to keep up. The worst recent example is their locking the New York Post account to suppress the Post's reporting on a Hunter Biden laptop scandal in October, which studies now show would have turned the election entirely. People who voted for Joe Biden, had they known that story, they wouldn't have voted for him. If it had been the Washington Post reporting on an Eric Trump laptop, Twitter would have, oh my gosh, they would have surrendered the entire platform to help spread the word. Or how about the time earlier in the year when Twitter really let their true colors fly by flagging a tweet from President Trump condemning the riots in Minneapolis? Twitter said the tweet got a warning label for glorifying violence. Let me give you a couple. These tweets from Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei literally glorify violence, call for genocide against Israel, but there are no warning labels there. Why would you have a warning label there? By the way, still on Twitter today is this from a Michigan representative. Watch.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful.
Oh.
Walk lightly.
Ooh.
We ain't playing with you.
Oh, boy.
Enough of the shenanigans.
Okay, shenanigans.
Enough.
Enough.
It's enough.
Enough.
And for those of you who are soldiers.
Who are soldiers?
You know how to do it.
Do what?
Do it right.
Do what right?
Be in order.
Be in order.
Make them pay.
Make them pay. That is still on Facebook as I speak. Not a problem. What the hell is that? Besides a government official seemingly calling for violence on a third of the population. Later, at an Israeli government hearing on anti-Semitism, a Twitter representative was asked about this kind of inconsistency here. See if you can understand Twitter's reasoning. Here it is.
Calling for genocide on Twitter is okay, but commenting on political situations in certain countries is not okay?
So if a world leader violates our rules,
but leader. It
is a clear interest in keeping that up on the service, we may place it behind a notice that provides some more context about the violation and allows people to click through if they wish to see that type of content. And that is what happened for the Trump tweet. That tweet was violating our policies regarding the glorification of violence based on the historical context of the last line of that tweet and the risk that it could possibly inspire harm and similar actions.
But a Democrat saying, get him, that's fine. There's no meter for that. The Ayatollah's tweet? Oh, sure, it's not going to inspire harm. Who listens to him? Am I right? But Trump's tweet condemning the Minneapolis rioting, that needs more context than I could even begin to imagine. Makes total sense, right? The message from big tech is clear. If you mess with us, if you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horns. In the digital public square, it is dangerous to challenge the elite progressive dogma, but I will do it till my final breath. You take everything away from me, I'll still do it. Put me in a park with Ricky Gervais. I'll be there too. Never will a good portion of Americans remain silent. It's un-American. It goes against human nature. It goes against all rights of man. But warning, you're going to be a target because of the mountains of private data these big tech companies have access to and you do not. Should they decide to expand their silencing operations against Americans who refuse to bow down to the progressive golden calf, it will be easy for them to identify all of the heretics. Burn the witch. Big tech totalitarianism is a fast-growing threat, and we conservative heretics need to prepare ourselves for a new reality of life as the dissidents under the regime. Part of this new reality is finding people that will stand and linking with them. I will stand, you know what, I propose to the Daily Caller, to Ben Shapiro, to all of them, a NATO alliance. An attack on one is an attack on all. You need to support these independent voices. If it's not Blaze TV, find somebody that you think is really standing up for the truth that won't ever sell out. I hope that we will be considered at the Blaze TV. We have big tech breathing down our throat almost at a daily basis. And this message from them today, it's over. It's only a matter of time unless we fight. Join us at blazetv.com. Make sure you have access to all of our content. Make sure you know who your friends are and spread the word. Next, I'm going to tell you about the group pushing for a new digital New Deal. As well as the new board that is making content decisions at Facebook going forward. Coming up. So do I need to tell you about Goldline? Really? I mean, good heavens. Digital currency is coming because they have destroyed the dollar. $11 trillion have been printed. $11 trillion have been printed. They have printed 3/4 of all of the money the Fed has ever printed in 107 years. They have printed 3/4 of that amount just in the last couple of years. What do you think is going to happen to the dollar? And geez, if they could get just a central bank kind of digital currency, why, then they could control everything. They would make it so easy for you. Goldline, they're offering a retirement account special right now where you can get up to 6% in promotional metals just for self-directed IRA purchases. Additionally, the highly coveted Maple Flex Silver Bar is back, and there is a catch. It's only available as a free promotional item with qualifying purchases of gold and Gold Line's $5 gold Liberty coins or in minimum quantities of boxes of 50 bars. They're extremely limited, so this is a first-come, first-served basis. Go there now. Call them. It's goldline.com, 866-GOLDLINE, 866-GOLDLINE. Tomorrow on radio, I'm going to go into the Digital New Deal and who's behind it, but one of the highlights of it, it proposes a new government digital democracy agency. Ooh. That would protect the integrity of the digital information ecosystem. Well, that's great. So what they want is big tech to adopt a new code of conduct that would show, quote, deference to expert bodies. Oh, it's getting better. Now, here's the scary part. They say, quote, civil and human rights groups should define hate groups and behavior, and scientific and public health bodies, such as the World Health Organization, should guide the definition of sound science. Are you mad? How can you be this out of touch? Well, you're hoping that Americans don't do anything about it until the big, huge door slams behind them. One reason Americans are seeking out alternatives to mainstream media is precisely because of left-wing deference to so-called expert bodies. The German Marshall Fund, interesting list of donors, including the Sandler Foundation. By the way, this German Marshall Fund, they're the ones behind the Green New Deal. So Sandler is co-founded by, oh, the Center for American Progress with spooky dude George Soros and John Podesta. The Center for American Progress then helped launch Media Matters in 2004. Sandler also helps fund the ACLU and the Clinton Foundation. Oh, well, they're all great people. Other top donors to the German Marshall Fund include George Soros Open Society Foundations, which, by the way, has a new CEO. He was the guy who was running Systematic. No, nothing to see there. Yeah, Microsoft, Google, NATO, USAID, and the U.S. State Department. Now, call me a little old-fashioned, but it seems like maybe the U.S. State Department should not be funding a think tank that advocates for censoring political speech in America. The Digital New Deal considers Facebook, along with Google and Twitter, to be one of the new media gatekeepers. Oh, and Facebook is really leaning into this gatekeeping role. For example, Facebook is very proud of their third-party fact-checking system. You see, they use fact-checkers that are certified by the International Fact-Checking Network. That's like saying the International House of Pancakes. It means nothing. The IFCN is a project of the nonprofit Poynter Institute. One of the major funders of that, George Soros Open Society. But any outlet can apply to the IFCN to get certified as a fact checker. So when you look at the IFCN's approved list, there are some recognizable names there, like USA Today and Washington Post. But most of them are unknown entities, like this one, Lead Stories. What's Lead Stories? Well, it's interesting because half of its staff used to work at CNN, including the co-founder, Alan Duke. Many Lead Story staffers, including the chairman, Perry Sanders, are recurring donors to Democratic candidates. But no surprise here, it's a bunch of CNN veterans, right? The joke here is that Facebook touts this IFCN certified group as neutral, independent, and a third party. Lead Stories, by the way, is funded by Facebook, Google, and a little company called ByteDance. Who's ByteDance? Well, ByteDance is the Chinese company that owns TikTok. You might remember the reports how late last year the Chinese communist government instructed TikTok to censor videos critical of the Chinese government, including anything that related to Tiananmen Square or Tibetan independence. The point is that none of these fact-checking entities are truly independent, and it is a farce for Facebook to pretend otherwise. Facebook's third-party fact-checking system is simply a virtue signal, a way for Facebook to partially cover their butts from all the fake news criticism. Another Facebook virtue signal is its new oversight board created earlier this year, a 20-member board. It's like a Supreme Court of Truth for Facebook. They'll hear cases and make final decisions about what content should be allowed on Facebook and what should be removed. Creating the Supreme Court for Facebook was the brainchild of Noah Feldman. He's the Harvard law professor who was one of the Democrat constitutional experts who argued President Trump's impeachment during the congressional hearing just last December. Remember how great he was and open-minded? He wrote a proposal for the oversight board and presented it to Mark Zuckerberg. Well, Zuckerberg loved it and said, "We got to do this." In an interview, Feldman said, "It is my hope and expectation that over time, the Facebook community standards will come to incorporate policy guidance that comes from the board. Sometimes that'll be because the board says this is what you have to do," end quote. So who are the people on the Facebook Supreme Court who will have the final say on what content stays and what goes? I mean, we're going to be called haters or not? Well, there is this lady. She's a critical race feminism researcher, program manager for George Soros' Open Society Initiative in West Africa. Then you have this Pakistani lady who's a member of Reporters Without Borders Commission, another group funded by George Soros. Then you have a Central European University professor who served for 6 years at the board of directors for George Soros, the Open Society Justice Initiative. Then there's an Indian lawyer who focuses on transgender rights, a Brazilian, wait, nothing to do with George Soros? That's weird. A Brazilian law professor who served on the board of Access Now, George Soros, a Kenyan who's director of Human Rights Watch, another Soros-funded group. You sensing the trend here? There's a former contributor to Al Jazeera. Oh, great. And then the former editor-in-chief of The Guardian newspaper, a law professor who served as an aide to Kamala Harris during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. Then, of course, you have the prime minister, former prime minister of Denmark, which is great. And then almost too good to be true here, Noah Feldman's fellow impeachment expert at the House Impeachment Inquiry, Pamela Karlan. Oh, well, that's great. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure they're going to understand American freedom of speech and debate, and they're going to be fair and balanced because I trust all of them just at face value. You're being lied to, America, and you are being shoved into a box where you will be uninformed and silent. One who refuses to go in, Candace Owen, next.
There is not a more remarkable time in this country for patriots to stand up and fight than right now, when we are being turned into a Marxist, communist, socialist country right in front of our faces.
It is an amazing thing to have that be controversial. But people like Candace Owens is controversial. She's the author of Blackout, How Black America Can Make Its Second Escape from the Democratic Plantation. She is also the founder of Blexit and the founder now of FactCheckZuck.com. Candace, you have you are blazing a trail right now going after these so-called fact checkers. Can you tell us the story of what's happened to you here recently that was the last straw?
Absolutely. So I had posted a video a few months back where I was discussing all of the things. I had Lead Stories, by the way, is the company that I'm talking about, who is an official Facebook fact checker. I had written something that was basically true. I had shared an article that was written by a former NHS pathologist, and he was explaining in his article, which was written for The Spectator UK, his name is Dr. John Lee, that the way that they are actually calculating COVID-19 deaths, meaning that they were doing post-mortem testing for COVID-19, which had never been done. It was never a requirement that needed to be met for any other infectious disease. And he was saying, essentially, this is why these death numbers actually don't make sense. Because they've inserted a new requirement that never needed to be done before. If you swabbed every single person for, I don't know, the flu after they died, even if they didn't die from the flu and they died from a heart attack, the flu numbers would be higher. If you swabbed them for a basic common cold every time somebody died, the numbers would be higher. So I shared this article by him, and it got fact checked by leadstories.com, which is at the center, by the way, of the fact checking for the recent videos that have come out of Georgia. And they censored it, and they basically said to me, this is incorrect, and here is the reason why. And the article that they wrote to go along with the censorship was essentially, we found a doctor that disagrees. They had a doctor in Colorado who disagreed with Dr. John Lee, which happens because doctors disagree. I'm 9 months pregnant right now. I can go to a doctor that thinks that I can should vaccinate my child with everything, and I can go to a doctor that thinks that you should wait until they're 2 months because doctors have different opinions. But that's no longer allowed anymore. So I wrote to them and I asked them to reconsider this. I went through the proper means and said, look, this makes no sense. I used a doctor's article. Please remove this censorship from my profile. And they basically were like, there's nothing you can do about it. So I researched LeaveStories.com, and here's what's incredible, Glenn. LeaveStories.com LLC was started in 2016. A former editor of CNN, he'd worked for CNN for 26 years, decided to leave CNN and start a fact-checking company. And lo and behold, what luck he had. In the first year of his business, he receives a contract with Facebook. Right.
It's a great story. It's a great lullaby, especially for the communists in China with the connections to ByteDance, which is a Chinese company that runs TikTok. They're also a major financier of lead stories. So now we have the Chinese telling us what we can and can't say here in America. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? So I immediately lawyered up and I said, you know, I want to go after these fact checkers because we know this isn't about fact checking. This is about censoring different ideas. What we're seeing right now that's arrived in America is mass censorship, the same type of censorship that they employ in China, except they don't pretend that it's fact checking. They just say we're a totalitarian government. You're going to do as we say. Mm-hmm. And so we are very serious in going after them. We filed in Delaware, and I'm really interested just for the period of discovery.
You have so am I. You have Nick Sandman's attorney. And Candace, I said this on the air when that story first broke with you, that we all need to gather together and we need to figure out a way that this can be done by more people than just you, because the average person is being censored. There, you know, the idea of Facebook was, hey, let's bring everybody together and they can talk and share ideas. Well, they don't like the ideas. And so now they're just shutting anybody down that they don't like. This has to stop. What do people do that don't have access to attorneys like that?
Well, you know what? It's actually a very good question, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because here's what's actually scary. After we filed our lawsuit, Facebook then decided to change their terms of service effective on December 20th, which makes it impossible. A part of saying that you're going to use Facebook or you're going to use Instagram, you have to go into a contract with them, which stipulates now that you will not join a class action lawsuit. And they did this, no doubt, because I launched my lawsuit against them. I just found this out, and I went, oh my gosh, because now they're realizing they could get into some serious trouble. And you're correct. I had a woman write me, and when she was happy to give to our lawsuit, and she said, I wrote that my husband didn't die of COVID-19, and it got censored from her page, right? Because he was part of postmortem testing. He died of a heart attack, and they counted his death as one toward COVID-19. She spoke up against that on her Facebook, and she got censored. Could you imagine being censored about talking about your own husband's death of 20 years? That's what's happening on Facebook, because they've decided on a preferred narrative. And this is scary stuff, because I would say, of course, we should start a class action lawsuit. That train is leaving the station. So instead, we have
to haven't gotten out by December 20th, I mean, we should all seriously talk. It may be worth getting out of Facebook.
Right. And that's exactly right. I agree with you. I really do think, because if you file before December 20th, there's nothing they can do about it. And there does need to be a class action lawsuit against them. But, you know, the silver lining in that is that it doesn't mean that you can't sue them as an individual. And there are tons of lawyers that will take a class action lawsuit without being paid. I actually have on my team, on my legal team, a guy named John P. Cole. He is actually the lawyer that settled the largest class action lawsuit that's ever been settled in the history of the world. And it was against Big Tobacco. And so once we finish our suit, I have said that I want to help lead a class action lawsuit for everybody who doesn't have the same platform and the same resources as me, because what we're seeing right now happening towards Americans is truly upsetting.
Yeah. We're going to talk about what the future holds here in a second, back with Candace Owens in a minute.
He profoundly believes in free speech. And, you know, those of us in journalism have to come to terms with the fact that free speech, a principle that we hold sacred, is being weaponized against the principles of journalism. And what do we do about that? I just say, you know, as reporters, we kind of march into this war with our facts nobly shouldered as if they were going to win the day. And what we're seeing is that because of the scale of this alternate reality that you've been talking about, our facts, our principles, our scientific method, it isn't enough. So what do we do?
There are two Americas today. There is an alternate reality. I think we're living in reality. So does that guy. That guy, by the way, is the head of Columbia School of Journalism. I mean, at Columbia University, the School of Journalism. He doesn't even understand what freedom of speech is. Does he, Candace?
And this is what's really alarming is that I have found now the more time they spend in school, the more degrees that they gather, the more departed these people are from reality. I mean, they cannot fathom. When I'm watching sometimes these people on CNN saying that there needs to be more censorship, there needs to be more censorship, they really view themselves as authoritarian. They believe that they know the right answer, that we need to put systems in place to make sure that they are the only source of information that's coming out. I mean, what we've seen in terms of this increasing tech censorship. The reason for this is because Donald J. Trump won the presidency in 2016. And he did that by getting around the mainstream media narrative. And so they set out in 2016 to make sure that they could the information stream was no longer being polluted as they see it. They see it as a form of pollution when anything is put out, an idea is put out that has not been sanctioned by them. Right. So they went and they started attacking social media because they hate that someone like Candace Owens can jump up on YouTube and start speaking about her beliefs and the things that she holds true and gain a following. They need that to go away. So they've been silencing voices slowly. Right. They started on what they deem to be the fringes. And now they're coming in and they're coming in. And it's because they do not want any information to get out that they can't control. And that's why, by the way, to attach to something else, that is why the COVID-19 lockdowns were really alarming to me on a larger scale.
Yep.
Because what it meant was you couldn't even talk to your friends. They don't want you talking to your family. They want you to come home and they want you to rely on the stream of information that they're giving you to tell you what is going on outside.
Yep.
And that's scary stuff. That's really, really scary stuff. I cannot stress that enough.
I started the program with this new policy from YouTube announced today. Quote, yesterday was the safe harbor deadline for the U.S. presidential election. Enough states have certified their election results to determine president-elect. Given that, we will start removing any piece of content uploaded today or any time after that misleads people by alleging widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. We will remove videos claiming that a presidential candidate won the election due to widespread software glitches or counting errors. We will begin enforcing this policy today, ramp it up in the weeks to come. As always, I love this. News coverage and commentary on these issues can remain on our site if there is sufficient education, documentary, scientific, or artistic content. We won't meet any of those criteria. We are now silencing in the public square. If you did this with jackboots, everyone would be upset. But this is the public square, and a private company is telling you what you can and cannot think and say.
And that is terrifying. And here, and let's put it in its proper context, Glenn. This is the same private company that allowed the Russian collusion conspiracy theory to float for 2 years and tear apart Americans, knowing that there was no basis of proof. There was nothing. It was just, we're going to start saying this and we're going to pretend it's real. This is the same platform that allowed stories, wild stories about Trump and what he was doing in Russia. Don't forget, this is the same company that allowed people to believe that Brett Kavanaugh was a gang rapist. All of that content was fine, absent any evidence, right? All of that was allowed to be said on their platform. But suddenly, disputing the election results, showing real people that are telling their own stories about their ballots not being counted. This is what I'm talking about. This goes back to the same story. A woman saying, my husband died of a heart attack. He did not die of COVID-19, can now be censored. Right? Because it didn't come from what they deem to be an authoritarian source. Unless CNN says it, it can't be true. This is what I hope what is going to happen because of this, Glenn, is a natural free market response, because we know 75 million Americans minimally, right, align with this. Minimally, 75 million Americans think this is wrong. And we are seeing this in there. They've been attacking Parlay, you know, the new Twitter. They've been attacking them, ramping up those attacks because they have no control. That is a free market answer to this sort of censorship that we are seeing.
So what concerns me is it's taken them a while, but they have now effectively closed the door on people connecting with one another, unless you're connecting on the right things. This stops Blexit. Would that have happened without social media? The Tea Party, it was at the very beginning of social media, but social media helped people plan where they were going to meet, et cetera, et cetera. If this isn't stopped, or there isn't another free market solution, we shut down all dissent. They didn't shut it down when Black Lives Matter, but they will shut down any dissent. You won't be able to protest because you won't know who's protesting with you or where to go.
And that's their ultimate goal. And that's why it is so important that we become innovative, that we become innovative on the right. I mean, Parlay is really a success story. They're terrified. They want it shut down. There's no China money there. I know the founder of Parlay. I know the people that have invested in Parlay. This is a conservative network that they have no control over. And this is where we're going to have to start turning to. We're going to have our own networks. We're going to have our own places to go. And we have to stop. We have to stop giving them our content, because it's us, Glenn. We gave them this power.
I know we did.
We gave them this power. They didn't exist prior to us putting our content on their website. So we have to say to YouTube, if this is how you're going to treat conservatives and you're going to censor our content, besides becoming litigious, which I very much believe in, I encourage conservatives, if you can prove that they are being discriminatory or they are picking your content over this or that, then pull your content down, go and fight them in the courts. But beyond that, we are capitalists. We believe in free market solutions. That's exactly what we need to do. Take our stuff somewhere else.
Yep. Thank you so much, Candace. I really appreciate your fight, and we're in it together. We have your back. Anything at any time you need, we're there for you. An attack on one is an attack on all of us.
And I tell everyone, stay positive. We are going to win. We are the side that believes in God. You don't want to be on the opposite side of God. I'll tell you that much.
Amen. Thank you very much, Candace. 2012, I built Blaze TV for this specific time, to be a voice in the darkness, but it all relies on you. Please join us. Become a subscriber at blazetv.com/Glenn. We'll see you tomorrow on the radio. Good night.